start off by asking you, what kind of person does your thinking make you? Think about that. What kind of person does your thinking make you? Somebody was looking at a resource center a little while ago, and they said something about just seeing me this week, and I said, well, that's really nice. I'm glad you're only getting this little short glimpse of me, because if you saw me all the time, then it might be a little bit different if you had the opportunity to live with me day in and day out. But nobody ever sees our thinking. If people actually got to see your thinking, then what would they think about you? Our thinking can result in depression, in anger, in joy, in bitterness, in lust, gentleness, patience, self-control, self-pity. You do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. Now, let's talk, if we're going to talk about our thinking, I think a good place to start is just thinking about the organ that the brain, that the mind uses to do its thinking, which is our brain. And let's think about our mind's capabilities. We're told that our brain can record 800 memories in how short a time? Anybody know? Per second. We're told our brain can store 800 memories per second. And it's estimated that in our lifetime, the brain can store 1 million billion bits of information. Okay, now please don't try to write that out longhand in your notes, because you can't even count that high in your life if you were to start the day you were born and keep counting. I think that's probably bigger than our national debt. 1 million billion bits of information. Now, despite that, we're told that we only use 10% of our brain's capability. We often let our minds be lazy. We only use 10% of our brain's potential. And when we think about that, that's a shame, because our brain is really influential. You do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. Your brain, your mind, accounts for your ability to imagine, to analyze, to remember, to love, to hate, to think, to function. You do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. In fact, your mind has such influence on you that your body will respond physically to it. There have been instances in which women have become falsely pregnant just because of the way they are thinking. Now, what do I mean by falsely pregnant? Well, what goes along with pregnancy? Morning sickness, what else? Weight gain, what else? Your abdomen swells, right? What else? Your cycle stops, right? All those things, women have become falsely pregnant just from their thinking they were not pregnant. Your brain and your mind is very, very influential. Also, people have experienced relief from asthma, from hay fever, from headaches, from high blood pressure, from diabetes, from peptic ulcers, from seasickness, from warts. Can you imagine that? From warts, chronic pain, arthritis, all from being given sugar pills with no medicinal qualities. Now, what does that have to do with your thinking? When they were given those pills, they thought they were real. So the relief they got was from what? From the pill? No, it was from the way they were thinking. Our thinking is very, very influential. So you can see, we need to be controlling our thinking because it has tremendous potential. Now, let's think about some other reasons why we ought to control it. We need to control it because it's commanded. In Proverbs 4:23, God commands us above all else. And when you hear those words, above all else, what does that mean? This is like my first priority, right? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And remember that when the Bible talks about heart, it's usually talking about the thinking part of you. Above all else, this is the first priority, God says. Guard your heart, because it is the wellspring of life. In other words, what? You do what you do, and you feel what you feel. Why? Because you think what you think. Above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. It is where everything else is coming from. So we need to control our thinking because it's commanded. We also need to control our thinking because temptation. temptation begins in our minds. The temptation to gossip. The temptation to be angry. The temptation to lie. The temptation to be proud. To judge others. To hold grudges. To overeat. It all begins in our thinking. We do what we do. And we feel what we feel. Because we think what we think. We don't just suddenly fall into sinful actions. Generally, we savor it in our thinking long, long, long before it comes out of our hearts. James 1, 14 and 15 talks about this principle. It says, each one is tempted when what? By his own evil desire. And what is a desire? It's a thought, right? Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire is what? My thought. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. God says, look, there's a pattern here. The way you think affects the way you feel and the way you act. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil thinking, he is dragged away and enticed. And after that thinking has given birth, it gives birth to sin. Another reason we need to control it is because pleasing thoughts do not come automatically. Pleasing thoughts do not come automatically. Let me just give you a little test on this one. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when a driver cuts you off? Is it, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to put the interest of others first? Is that what automatically comes to your mind? Okay. What about this one? What is your first response when somebody attacks you unjustly? Lord, thank you for this opportunity to examine myself and my heart and see if there's any areas I need to grow and change. Pleasing thoughts do not come automatically. And if we don't work on this, that's not what's going to come to our thinking. Another reason we need to work on this is because if we don't, the result will be guilt. Because we have not guarded our hearts as God has commanded us to do. And unhappiness. The way will become hard, and we may experience physical problems. Doctors estimate that emotionally induced illness accounts for 65 to 80% of all modern sickness. Emotionally induced illness accounts for 65 to 80% of all modern sickness. And why do we feel what we feel? Why do we have the emotions that we have? Because we think what we think, 65 to 80% related to what we're thinking. Another reason we need to work on this is because if we don't, we're going to become ugly. What happened when Cain got mad? It affected the way he looked, right? Okay, your thinking is going to affect the way you look. If we don't work on this, we're going to look ugly at some point. Okay, I've heard somebody say that before 40, you're not responsible for the way you look. But after 40, whether you're pretty or not, is totally up to the way you have lived your life. Okay? And in Proverbs, we're told a merry heart produces what? A cheerful countenance, right? It affects a merry heart, your thinking. It affects the way you look. Your thinking affects the way you look. And finally, we need to control this because if we don't, it may be that when we get to be 80 years old or so, our thinking is going to go on vacation and it's not coming back. Right? Now, given that we've got all of these good reasons to control our thinking, why don't we do it? What are the hindrances? Why don't we work on this? Why don't we, above all else, guard our hearts? Well, because there's a lot of competing things out there, aren't there? There's a lot out there competing for our attention. Americans spend more money on advertising than they do on scientific research, than they do on welfare, than they do on mental health, than they do on pollution control or education. Now, you think about the budgets for each one of those, and we as a culture spend more money on advertising than any of those things. And that investment pops out all around us. We're told that the average American sees 1,500 different advertisements.